بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إخواني، it's more than a happy moment for me and it's more than beautiful for me to stand in front of the brothers here again back in Australia and Sydney in Lakemba Mosque to share something what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام shared with his companions. And after a 3-week trip where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted us to go to the Hajj and perform Hajj, which is the fifth pillar of Islam, I would like also to share with you our beautiful trip with beautiful brothers in Hajj. Although Hajj is not a 3-week trip, a lot of people think, subhanallah, he's gone for 3 weeks, he's gone for a month. Oosh, Hajj is 3 weeks, it's 3 months. Ikhwani, Hajj in total is about 4 days. That's all Hajj. The day, the practices of Hajj and everything to it's revolving around Hajj, it's only 4 days. The first day you go and sleep in Mina, the next day you go to Arafah, the same night of that day you go to Muzdalifah, the next day you go to Mina for 1 day, then you sleep that night in Mina, then that day you go, stay still in Mina, you go and throw 3 stones called Jamarat, and then you sleep that night, and the next day you go to the Jamarat, and the Hajj deeds are finished. So it's only 4 days. And the Hajj deeds and practices are all in Mecca. Most of the times we go to Medina for the visit. So let's have the idea of Hajj only 4 days, but it takes more than 4 days traveling, especially from Australia, and 2 or 3 days before that in Mecca, 2 or 3 days after that in Mecca, and then you go and visit the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ikhwani, Hajj, the Kaaba is the holy place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim to build. And Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba in the middle of nowhere. And after he built the Kaaba, he said, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرًا عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. O Allah, my Lord, I had put my descent and built a house, which is the Kaaba, in a valley with no plants. So the Kaaba is in the middle of a valley with no plants. And it's true, when you go, you realize yourself while going in a bus, you're going down and downhill. That hatta, even you start feeling the pressure in the ear, that you're going down. And subhanAllah, you find the Kaaba just around mountains in the middle of a valley. So Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba in the middle of a valley. And then later on, civilization started to take place around the Kaaba until a tribe from Quraysh was taking care of the Kaaba, and from that tribe of Quraysh, one of the great leaders, his name is Hashim, then from Hashim, Abdul Muttalib, then from Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah, then the greatest man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, comes. SubhanAllah, you find the deeds or the practices of Hajj or the doings of Hajj all relate, most of it, to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he got married to Sarah, and then they grew and became in an old age and no kids, and Ibrahim was eager to have a child, and Sarah had a slave female, her name is Hajar. She saw the love of having a child in the eyes of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So she proposed Hajar to Ibrahim alayhi salam for him to get married to Hajar, and the descent of Ibrahim could start from Hajar. So Ibrahim accepted that, he got married to Hajar, and the first baby born was born for Ibrahim alayhi salam from Hajar, his name is Ismail. Later on, Ibrahim alayhi salam occupied a bit of his time with his wife Hajar because of his son Ismail. So a bit of that time was taken from the time of Sarah to Ismail alayhi salam. The jealousy of the female of the woman started to play. So Sarah said, I can no longer handle you being around Hajar and his son. Get rid of Hajar and his son, take him away from my eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to take Hajar and Ismail in a place of nowhere as a test for Ibrahim, first of all, and for Hajar and his son, secondly. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was living in Palestine, which called people living from Canaan, their names were, he migrates with his wife Hajar and Ismail down to a valley which he describes a valley with no plants. And he settles Hajar and Ismail in the middle of nowhere. And Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves Hajar and Ismail with a bit of dates and water. And he walks and leaves Hajar and Ismail, a weak female with a little baby born, with a little baby that just born, no strength or power. Leaves him in the middle of nowhere. So Hajar calls Ibrahim and tells him, oh Ibrahim, what made you do this to us? So Ibrahim kept on walking. And again Hajar calls Ibrahim, oh Ibrahim, why did you leave us here by ourselves? So Ibrahim kept on walking. And the third time Hajar calls and says, oh Ibrahim, is that an order from Allah Azza wa Jal that ordered you to do this to us? So Ibrahim turns around and says, yes. So Hajar says with full faith, إِذَا لَنْ يُضَيَّعَنَ اللَّهِ. She says that with full faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forget us then. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forgot him. And here's Hajar and his son Ismail in the middle of this valley, left with a bit of dates and water. They ate the dates and drank the water. There's no longer food or water. Now his little baby wants water. He wants to drink, he wants to be breastfed. But Hajar hasn't got the energy or strength. So the passion and the emotions of the female start to play again, where Hajar realized that his son is suffering from death because no food, no energy to give him food. So she starts to run between two mountains. One is called the Safa, and the other one is called the Marwa. She walks up to the mountain, trying to see if there's anyone around that could support them or help them. So she goes up to the Safa the first time, calling for help, help, help. No one is there. So she runs to the other mountain and walks up to the mountain, to the hill. It's not a high mountain, it's a hill. She walks up to the hill of Marwa, looks around. Help, is there anyone that could help us? Is there anyone that could support us? And again she goes to the Safa, and again to the Marwa, and again to the Safa, to the Marwa, to the Safa, to the Marwa, 7 times. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Jibreel to hear with his wings in narration. They hear with his wings, an explosion happened where a well of Zamzam exploded and water was given out. The Hajar saw the water just flooding the valley. So she started to say with her language, Zummi, Zummi, gather up, gather up. So the water was gathered in that well, the well of Zamzam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, may Allah have mercy on our mother Hajar. If she did not say Zummi, Zummi, the world would have flooded. And this water from then, all the way to now, to the day of judgment, till now, is given water to everyone, and it's got no ending. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the growth of Ismail, Allah azza wa jal orders Ibrahim to build a Kaaba. And a Kaaba means, in Arabic means, a squared box that's coming out of the ground which it is, a squared black box that's coming out the top of the ground. Where Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing in the position, laying the bricks, and Ismail alayhi salam will bring the bricks to his father Ibrahim, and Ibrahim will lay them at the top of each other. So here's the Kaaba was built, and here's the well of Zamzam, and here's the Safa and Marwa. And that's where the establishment of Baytullah al-Haram, the Kaaba, was established from since then. And this is called the Kaaba, and Ibrahim alayhi salam built it. And the greeting of the Kaaba, the way when we enter the mosque and we greet the mosque with 2 rak'at, the greeting of the Kaaba is something that we call tawaf, which is going around the Kaaba. And you go around the Kaaba 7 times. The main practices in Hajj is called the tawaf, which is 7 times around the Kaaba. And there's another thing called a sa'i, which is 7 times from Safa to Marwa, those 2 mountains that Hajar ran between 7 times. So all this comes back. So subhanAllah, you look at this, and when you're there, you look at the Kaaba, and then you look at the Safa and Marwa, and all you could picture is those great moments of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Hajar and Ismail alayhi salam, and that sacrifice and that faith they had for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, the Kaaba, he's the Safa, the Marwa, Bir Zamzam. And then when he came to the Jamarat, which is 2 days after Arafah, you throw 3 places. It's called the Jamarat, the stoning. One is called the Al-Ula, Al-Sughra, Al-Wusta, Al-Kubra. The small stoning, the middle stoning, and the great stoning. And the story behind this is when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in the dreams that was slaughtering his son Ismail. And the dreams of the prophets is the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam tells his son, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. O son, I saw in my dreams that I was slaughtering you. So what was the reply of Ismail alayhi salam? No, 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 let me go. Ismail alayhi salam knew that's an order from Allah. So he says, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Oh dad, do what Allah had ordered you. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Oh dad, you're going to find me insha'Allah from the patient ones. Look at the reply. So Ibrahim grabs Ismail, walking with Ismail to slaughter Ismail. And while he was walking with him, he comes. Shaytan Iblis, la'anahullah, comes to Ibrahim first of all. Tells him, oh Ibrahim, where are you going? He just saw a dream that he's slaughtering his son. And now, you want to go and slaughter your son? That's a normal dream, like how everyone else has a dream. So Ibrahim grabs stones and starts to stone him. And then, they walk a bit. So Iblis, la'anahullah, will come to Ismail, trying the second attempt. Oh Ismail, look what your dad's going to do to you. He's going to slaughter you. Are you going to let him do that? It's just a normal dream that everyone else has a dream. So Ismail grabs his stones and starts to stone him. And then the third time he comes to both of them and saying, where is he going? It's just a normal dream that he just saw in the dreams, that everyone else sees in the dreams. And again, let's grab and start stoning him. So in those 3 positions and those 3 places, that's where we stand 3 times. You stand every one of them 7 times. So you stand the first one 7 times, then the second time 7 times, and the third time 7 times. Remembering how Ibrahim obeys Allah's orders, even if it's from the outside something that's harmful, but from the inside it's pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the second Ibrahim came to slaughter his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that knife cut. And then Allah Azza wa Jal descends from the heavens, a shape from the heaven, as a gift or as a grant that Allah Azza wa Jal shows Ibrahim that Allah is pleased from him, and it was only a test to Ibrahim and his son. So subhanAllah, you'll be there and you just imagine all these great moments of that great man Ibrahim alayhi salam. And you realize something, subhanallah, how Allah Azza wa Jal mentions Ibrahim in the Quran. The way that Ibrahim is mentioned with a lot of respect. And the way Ibrahim is all the time mentioned, is mentioned as a man of a Hanafiya. And the Hanafiya means the man of a natural. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a natural man that followed the natural religion, which is Islam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is that prophet that's been accepted by all nations, whether the Christians or Jews and Muslims. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is what the Prophet alayhi salam describes him as, the grandfather of all prophets. Struggled, a great struggle and sacrifice, a great sacrifice, that we go to the Hajj and follow some of his footsteps to remind us of this sacrifice. And whoever obeys Allah at the end, he's a winner. And subhanallah, you realize how Allah Azza wa Jal unites. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites the Muslim nation from different colors and from different nationalities, from different backgrounds, from different mentalities, all together on one surface, a very small surface compared to a lot of other surfaces, where you stand up in the prayer and you look to your right, you find the man of black, and you look to your left, you find the people, white people, black people, blue-eyed people, black-eyed people, black hair, blonde hair, different colors, different mentalities, different nationalities. Subhanallah, all being united, standing in one line, one straight line, facing the one Qibla, worshipping one Lord, following one Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, Allahu Akbar, that's a miracle itself. That's a miracle itself, where all these different people from all around the world get together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And you find, not only in a straight line, one line, but you find one heart. That subhanallah, that 3 or 4 million people, some people say there was 5 million people in Hajj this year, that subhanallah, you don't see many fights, you don't see many arguments. And subhanallah, over all this pushing and shoveling, and all this crowd, and all this, like all this crowd, and all this squeezing, and all this pushing, not many fights. I say to myself, subhanallah, if we have this, if we have only 1,000 people like this in Bankstown, you've found the biggest brawl here. People will kill each other if someone pushes another one. Down there, everyone's pushing each other, and everyone's crowded, and everyone's squeezed, and subhanallah, you hardly see any fights. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is descending down. And subhanallah, you start remembering those moments of that great man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember how the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will go around the Kaaba, especially in the time of Mecca, how the Meccans were against the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And you remember that moment when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was praying in front of the Kaaba, and one of the leaders of Mecca says, "Who dares me that I'll grab the dirt of the camel and throw it on the back of Muhammad?" So all the leaders of Mecca said, "We order you to do it. We know you'll do it." So he went and grabbed the dirt of the ibn, of the camel, and he put it on the back of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will come and clean that dirt from the back of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Another moment where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was praying in the Kaaba, and Abu Jahl will grab a big stone, coming to throw it at the head of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to get or to destroy Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he comes near the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he pauses and he throws that stone and walks back. So the people or the leaders of Mecca tell him, "What happened to you, or Abu al-Hakam?" That's his name, Abu al-Hakam. "What happened to you? What did you go back?" So he said, "Wallahi, I saw two great camels standing next to Muhammad. They were ready to strike." So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Wallahi, that was Jibreel and the angels. If you took one more step, that would have took him away from this world." And you remember a lot of great moments where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was leaning his back to the Kaaba, And a man comes from the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, O Prophet Allah, make dua for us. Look what we're going through, all these hardships and torturing, all this persecution. Make dua. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make things easy for us. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam gets up in an angry way. And he says, Wallahi, the ones before you, they will go through torturing and hardships. They will be chopped into two pieces. This is not taking them away from the deen of Allah. And they'll be combed by the iron combs, ripping their bones and flesh to take them away from the deen of Allah. This will not even take them away from the deen of Allah. And we'll come to a time where the shepherd will walk all the way from Yemen to Mecca by himself, does not fear but no one but Allah, and the wolf attacking his sheep. And we'll come to a time where the Muslim female walk by herself from Iraq to Mecca by herself, she doesn't fear no one but Allah. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ You are a people in rush and hurry. Wait for the support of Allah. Wait for the victory of Allah to come down. Wait for the نصر الله عز وجل and نصر الله سبحانه وتعالى as Allah سبحانه وتعالى describes أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ The victory of Allah is very close and near. That's in Mecca. You see, and just remember all these times. And Mecca is a place, very hard and rough place, very tough place. You feel tension there. You feel tension. Even the people there are very rough. Till now, till our days, very rough people. And subhanAllah, you could feel the tension in Mecca and the people of Mecca. You could feel that tension. And you could feel the tension that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went through. That tension between the people of Mecca, his own family and his own tribe, kicked him out of the city. And when you walk out of the gates of Mecca, you remember how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood on the borders of Mecca, saying, Oh Mecca, Wallahi, you are the most beloved places in my heart. If it wasn't for your people, Wallahi, I would not leave you. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam migrated to Mecca to Medina. And on the way, you start remembering that great moment where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam migrates, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Medina. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the love of Allah and the love to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the love of this religion, narrates that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was walking to Medina, once Abu Bakr was standing in front of him, the other time was standing on his right, the third time was standing on his left, the fourth time was standing behind him, just surrounding in circles the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will ask Abu Bakr, Oh Abu Bakr, why are you doing this for? So Abu Bakr will say, Oh Prophet of Allah, I remember the enemy coming from in front of you, I'll protect you from the front. And I remember the horses are coming from your right, so I'll stand on your right. And I remember the kuffar are coming from behind you, so I'll stand from behind you to protect you. And I remember they're coming from your left, I'll stand on your left. Oh Prophet of Allah. In halaktu ana fa innama ana wahidu min hadhihi al-umma. Wa in halakta anta faqad halakat al-umma. Oh Prophet of Allah, if I get destroyed, I'm a normal man from this nation. And if you get destroyed, this whole nation will destroyed. This whole nation will get destroyed. And then you remember that great moment where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was in Ghari Thawr, in the cave of Thawr, hiding away from the kuffar, and the kuffar are behind Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Abu Bakr to destroy Muhammad and Abu Bakr. And here's Abu Bakr sees the kuffar climbing the mountain. So he tells the Prophet, O Prophet of Allah, if one of them will look down, he'll see us. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam teaches Abu Bakr to teach us, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two? Allah is the third one of them. Abu Bakr, don't worry, Allah is with us. And then, when you enter Medina, you just could picture that great moment where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam enters Medina, him and Abu Bakr. And the people of Medina just waiting for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to enter Medina. And you just could, like you could hear the voices of the Ansar, the people of Medina, singing, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada' wajab al-shukru alayna ma da'a lillahi da' ayyuha al-mab'uthu fina jita bil-amr al-muta' جئت شرفت المدينة ما دعا لله داع. You could just hear the طلع البدر علينا, the people of Medina welcoming the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام with the best welcoming, with the best greeting. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام enters Medina with the people of Medina surrounding him, welcoming him, and everyone's fighting over who will host, who will take the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to his house. And then he go and visit the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that one prayer in my mosque is equivalent to 1,000 prayer. One prayer in Masjid Allah al-Haram, which is Mecca, is equivalent to 100,000 prayer. And one prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa, it's equivalent to 500 prayer. And he go and pray there. And you could feel the place of Medina, a place of tranquility and peace, a place of calmness, a place where you find the people of Medina are very nice. These people are the people that supported the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and stood with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, although they were strangers to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but they supported him and stood all the way with him to uprise the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is buried next to, just in the mirror of, just next to the mihrab, which is this, the minbar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe the distance up to that wall. That's where the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is to be there. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that all the prophets are buried where they die. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam died in the house of Aisha, and that's where the house of Aisha used to be, and next to him Umar, and next to him Abu Bakr, then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And he got past the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to give salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, although you could give salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from here, where he says salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, and Allah azza wa jal, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam describes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return my soul back to me so I could reply the salam of anyone of my nation that sends salam to me. But subhanallah, you just could feel that feeling. There's alameters away between you and the body of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And you have that feeling that subhanallah, you probably are standing in a place where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood. Or you are praying in a place where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is praying. And then subhanallah, all you could picture in front of you is all these hardships and struggles and sacrifices that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. And you look and you say, subhanallah, if it wasn't for him, I would not be here. If it wasn't for his sacrifice, I would not hear the word of Islam. If it wasn't for his sacrifice, the message of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah would not be sent to me. If it wasn't for his strugglings, him and his those two great men next to him, and all those great men of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, would have been, as Allah described, on the edge of the hellfire. But Allah Azza wa Jal put us into the paradise. And subhanallah, you start thinking and say to yourself, then what have I paid back? If they've done that much for us, then what are we doing? And how much are we sacrificing? How much are we struggling? And then you start comparing what they've done and what are we doing. And subhanallah, there's no space for us to compare. And then you raise your hands up and you say, Ya Allah, accept me to be like them. Or at least a part of them. Or at least the minimum they were. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us like them. And subhanallah, you remember the people of Ansar, how they was supported the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and stood with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, strengthened the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, especially when they put their hands in the hands of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, making the pledge and bay'ah that all Prophet of Allah, we will support you with our own families and own kids and money and soul. And subhanallah, you remember a great moment where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after Fatah Makkah and after Ghazwat Hunayn, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was left behind with a lot of beauties. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was giving the most of that beauty to the people of Mecca, to the people of Mecca, to those new Muslims that just became Muslims in Mecca, because in Fatah Mecca a lot of Muslims became, or a lot of non-Muslims of Mecca became Muslims. So here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gives a lot of beauty, and he's just given every one of them that is narrated, over 100 sheep and 100 camels to everyone. And the people of Ansar, the Muslims of Medina, did not get any. So the shaitan wanted to play a role where he started to put in the mind of the people of Ansar, look, Muhammad is given to the people of Mecca and he's not given you. He's discriminating them over you guys. And look, you are the guys that supported him and you are the guys that helped him. and you are the guys that stood by him, and you done this to him, and you done that to him. So the news came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gets the people of Ansar, the people of Medina, the Muslims of Medina, and tells them, "Oh people of Medina, what's this I heard about you? That you said that I'm discriminating the people of Mecca over you guys, or people of Ansar. Did you forget who I am? I'm the Prophet of Allah. I'm the one that Allah Azza wa Jal guarded you by me. And I'm the one that Allah Azza wa Jal put love and unity through me. And I'm the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from the hellfire to the paradise through me. Or people of Ansar, if you want to say that you are the one that supported me, it's true. And if you want to say that you are the ones that protected me, it's true. And if you want to say that you are the one that sheltered me, it's true. And if you want to say that you are the one that sheltered the people of Mecca, it's true. Or people of Ansar, if everyone takes a path and the people of Ansar take a path, I'll take the path of the people of Ansar." And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Ya ahl al-Ansar, ala tardawna an ya'khudha ahlu Makkah al-mawashiya wal-an'am wa tarji'una antum bi rasulillahi ila al-Madina." O people of Ansar, wouldn't you accept that the people of Mecca take the camels and take the sheep and the cattle, and you go back with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina? So the people of Ansar start to cry. They start to cry, and then they start to say, "Yes, we accept you to come with us to Medina." They prefer to have the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this city better than this whole world and what's in it. Ikhwan, it's a great experience. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those ones that did not experience it, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it, to accept them to experience it. And for those ones that already experienced it, is for them to act upon what they've experienced. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us understand. Because ikhwani, mashaAllah, you go to Hajj and you see about 4-5 million people in Hajj. And you wonder, subhanAllah, 4-5 million people are coming here every single year. But there's not much action happening around the world with Muslims. Like the Muslims are not moving enough for their religion. And that's why we're just going behind. And that's why you see exactly what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, that this horde is gathering against us and destroying us and eating us the way a person eats his plate. And subhanAllah, I said to myself when I was with the brothers there, I said, subhanAllah, imagine if only a quarter of this number is really strong in their religion, the way Allah Azza wa Jalla wants them to be in the religion, wallahi, will not have any problems in the whole world. Look at the companions, who were very small in number, but with the quality they had, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him victory over everyone. But ikhwani, the whole idea is going to Hajj, not to go to Hajj, alhamdulillah, I came back. My name is Hajj Fulan now. No longer, wallah, my name is Muhammad Ushadi. Now is my name Hajj Muhammad Hajj Shadi. That's it. Now ikhwani, the whole idea of Hajj is to increase that faith and increase that iman, and to come back with a stronger faith and iman. And to come back and realize what the companions and the Prophet ﷺ went through, so you could start preparing yourself the way they prepared themselves. And you could start moving the way they moved. And you could start struggling the way they struggled. And you start succeeding the way they succeeded. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Inshallah, ikhwani, by next Monday, inshallah, we'll go back to our old program, the biography of the Prophet ﷺ. And I remember that I stopped at the year of the revelation, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was revealed to him, the first revelation, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So inshallah, next Monday we'll start with the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we'll continue with the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and inshallah we shouldn't have any stops from here to Ramadan. That's one thing. The other thing, ikhwani, there is a fundraising dinner this Thursday, Litkem. Wednesday. There's another one on Litkem. Thursday, Litkem for IDC. The one on Wednesday is different to the one I'm talking about. So please don't interrupt me. Thursday, there is a fundraising dinner for the brothers of IDC at Litkem, Westella. The ticket is $70, although you might find it a bit expensive. But inshallah, it's all going for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The brother Jalal from IDC, he's outside selling the tickets, $70 each. So I recommend all the brothers to participate into this fundraising dinner. It's all going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that every cent or every dollar you give for the sake of Allah, you will never lose. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفرة والملحدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.